And we welcome you a week from Christmas and our last visit of the year with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. You're not coming on Christmas Day next week or New Year's Day?
I think I might have some family obligations like the rest of Pittsburgh. It's been a great year. First of all, Larry, thank you for allowing me to do this, and Aaron and Paul and Pat and the whole team. I mean, what, you know, breaking in a rookie, so to speak. And I don't think people realize all the things that go into how they turn on the radio and just get this enjoyable news and information what you guys put together.
Well, what we appreciate from you bringing us news from around the 10 county region and the city, I think people always have enjoyed looking to say, oh, what are they doing here, or what's coming next, or, you know, something that people can talk about that's tangible. And let's start with the airport.
Well, the airport has been an exciting, you know, over this last year and a half, watching it come out of the ground. And next year is going to be the culmination. And interesting, just the other day, we had the 10th anniversary of Christina Cassotis coming to town. And, you know, Christina talks about, I was only going to come here for 3 years. And now 10 years later, she's still here. And the amazing job that she has done, and I'll use the sports analogy, she took a last place team and put them in the playoffs. And every year they're a contender for these flights. And you mentioned earlier that LA is going to get more service. I heard Paul talking about the Seattle flight. That was a huge deal when we got that a couple of years ago. British Airways. And now this new airport is going to open up next year. And it is going to be the best airport in the country, technology and customer service and all those kind of things. It's going to be exciting.
It's still hard for us to imagine. And I was just there last weekend and I saw, you know, the garage being built and the front of the airport and the roadways. And it's hard to imagine because based on the renderings, what we have seen from the architects, it's going to be spectacular.
Outdoor spaces that we've never had before. Again, you're going to have it's going to show Pittsburgh, the old airport. Not, I call it the old airport now, but the airport we've had almost was like any other airport around the country, St. Louis or L.A. or wherever you went. This one's really going to show off Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh region, and beyond just the Franco and George Washington and Nellie Bly statues that you see coming down the escalator. It's going to show some of the great things, the innovations around the polio vaccine, around steel and our industrial heritage and our history and robotics going into the future. It's really going to be a showcase for people who land in Pittsburgh for the first time. It's going to be a showcase and a gateway to this region.
And from a practical standpoint, more TSA security checkpoints, and then also there'll be no tram anymore.
No more train. I mean, you know, if you liked the train or didn't like the train, cost a lot of money to run that train. But yes, and you think about the innovation on energy, obviously being the only airport that creates its own energy. That's become such a huge topic over the last couple of years, the grid and how do we handle that. And again, Christina and her team, Christina Cassotis, developing, using that natural gas and solar both to create our own power and the money savings on things like that. There's going to be a lot of innovations that most of us don't realize, but you're right. TSA, that stress people were, how early do I have to get there? Is that line going to be an hour long or 45 minutes? Am I going to miss my flight? That's going to make that tension level go down.
And kudos to you because you had a huge role in making this happen. And as I told you, I broadcast live with Fred Hansberger from the old Rainbow Machine, our mobile. It was basically a souped-up RV from the opening of this airport. And so I'm hoping to work out with the team for next year, whatever the date ends up being, to be there day one when the grand opening is scheduled.
Well, that's what happens when you've been around a few years, that you start to go through the second generation of
I've been through a few stadiums.
Stadiums, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what happens. But, I mean, remember, I do remember that. I wasn't in government back then, but I do remember as a young adult when that airport opened, the hope and the history, because we were coming off of the closures of the steel mills and the industry and getting that national hub, the corporate headquarters of U.S. Air, at the time U.S. Airways. That was a big deal. And when Commissioner Forster and Flaherty and that team opened that airport up, it was a new day. The old Greater Pitt that some of us remember as kids going out there to watch the airplanes fly off and take off and land. That was a big day. And, you know, obviously then things change with 9/11 and the merger and the bankruptcy and how that airport went from really, you know, top of the world to, as we say, the sports analogy, first place to last place. And then for years, how do we lost the hub and how are we going to get these things back? And, you know, we found the natural gas under the airport, which obviously saved the finances, and then getting Christina and her team to come in and rethink how Pittsburgh can get reconnected to the rest of the country and the world, and getting flights to places like Seattle and the West Coast and Europe really opened up Pittsburgh and to the world and the innovation that we've had. And it's going to be exciting next year.
You know, I was one of the voices of, you know, how the
yes, you were. We put you on the tram.
And I joked to people, they're taking...
Hang on, right?
This tram stops at gates A, B, C, and D. Well, there was only one stop.
I know. We wanted to sound like we were a little bigger, like London or something, when we said the stops.
That was cool, though. And actually, one of the times you started doing that was the last time the U.S. Open was here. You were welcoming people.
Yes.
And you had different people from around the region welcoming all those visitors. And we got... U.S. Open coming back this June. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Rich Fitzgerald, our guest on the Big K Morning Show. Also going to cover Monroeville Mall is up for sale. And huge data center is coming next. This is the Big K Morning Show. We continue our conversation with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. 10 counties, that's a large area, and we're all looking forward to a new year in development and what's going to happen to strengthen our economy, bring people in for jobs, and all those things that you have been working on when you, for 12 years, were Allegheny County Executive. I got to ask you about U.S. Steel.
Mm-hmm.
I had an opportunity to meet face-to-face last Thursday with the vice chairman, Mr. Morey, and Takahiro Mori, and they want to do a deal. And I asked him, well, what are you here? Why did Joe Biden say, and then Harris when she was running, and Donald Trump say they didn't want this deal to happen? And then 2 days ago, we see $100 billion investment from that technology company from Japan. So what do you hear, Rich? Why wouldn't we want this deal if they're going to put $1.2 billion of infrastructure in the Mon Valley?
Well, you've got a huge investment that needs to happen in those plants if they're going to be competitive moving forward. So you have seen these ads that run sometimes during the Steeler games, you know, all throughout. And you see all these local mayors, the mayor of Clairton, the mayor of Braddock, the mayor of North Braddock.
You know all these
guys. Yeah, they're locally elected officials, along with the local union officials, who are in favor of this happening because they realize this investment is really going to be the thing that can keep these plants running for years to come. And I think there's about 3,000 workers or more that work at these plants, and that's just the direct employees. The amount of contractors that go in and do work, and we know our building trades have done a lot of work in those mills is important. So it's going to be interesting to see with the new U.S. Senator-elect McCormick, where he is on this issue. He's talked about economic growth and economic development is an important thing, and in the Mon Valley, this is important. I think behind the scenes, we've seen our governor and lieutenant governor, Austin Davis, being from McKeesport, being from the Mon Valley, knows how important this is. He lived through it as he grew up, how important this is. So the Morey has been going around, Vice Chair Morey has been going around making the case as to where this will be. And also, while we think of it as the Mon Valley and the Allegheny County place, a lot of those workers come from Fayette County, come from Westmoreland County. Many of the county commissioners have come out in favor of this deal going forward. So Biden's kind of said he's against it, but hasn't moved on it just yet. President-elect Trump says he's against it, but it's going to be interesting to see where this plays out.
Hopefully somebody can get to them and realize, and I told Vice Chair Morey that I thought just the word takeover sounds, you know, ominous, as opposed to creating a partnership. If you're promising to keep the headquarters here in Pittsburgh, or bring it back, actually.
And actually expand it, because their headquarters now is in Houston.
Right.
So when they become, if they do become, the Nippon-U.S. Steel merger takes place, they're going to move all those workers from Houston to Pittsburgh. If another company takes it over, chances are that headquarters would move out. And when you think about Pittsburgh and the industrial heritage of what we had, nothing represents it more than Andrew Carnegie and U.S. Steel.
And their own company, U.S. Steel, decided to not invest in the Mon Valley like we had thought they would. They moved that south. So for Pittsburgh, I think we really would love to see this happen for the community.
Yes, and particularly those communities that have suffered over these last number of decades, as we lost the Homestead Works and the Duquesne Works and the McKeesport National Works and et cetera, those three plants that remain, as well as the R&D Center in Munhall, is the legacy of what we've had. And, you know, we talked about these data centers, you know, the Alcoa Center out in Westmoreland County. It's actually called Alcoa Center, is the name of the town, that doesn't have nearly the workers that we had years ago. But this data center that's going to come in is going to revitalize Upper Borough and the Borough and the Upper Borough School District. We've seen this transformation, but we still need to invest in local and national manufacturing that happens here on our shores as opposed to overseas.
Right. But we're not talking about China. We're talking about a big ally in Japan. And again,
so we've been allies with for decades and decades.
We welcomed the president, CEO's name escapes me, from Japan. It was just here with Donald Trump, saying he's going to invest $100 billion in technology, AI. And then on the spot, Trump said, let's make it $200 billion. I got to put the guy in a he was like, oh, yeah.
But I'll raise you $100 billion.
And then I keep going back to this tweet that I saw last Thursday morning suggesting that, and this came from Donald Trump, any person or company investing $1 billion or more in the United States of America will receive fully expedited approvals and permits, including but in no way limited to all environmental approvals. Then all caps, get ready to rock. So this kind of flies in the face of, why would you be against this deal?
Well, think about maybe the last major foreign investment that we've had in this region, Royal Dutch Shell, from, you know, the Shell cracker plant. Billions of dollars, over $10 billion that would invest it in. You talk to the folks out in Beaver County, you know, that brought a lot of economic infusion of investment and jobs and things that have happened. So, yes, you know, how we deal with foreign investment. We've seen it in our auto industry. I mean, think about these auto plants that have been, again, investment from Germany, from Japan, from European and other and Asian companies. It's part of the global economy. And somehow this deal got caught up in something different. And I'm not sure exactly what that's been.
Well, you know, the number of companies that are from foreign investment here in the region, and it is in the hundreds, right?
It absolutely it is, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, go back to our discussion with the airport, it was so important for us to get European service into London, into Iceland. We had a flight into Germany that stopped during COVID, and it'll probably be coming back hopefully at some point in the future, because Pittsburgh is an international company with international investment that's happening here. Around technology, around AI, around energy, we really have become an innovative place within this country to do business, and making it easier for companies to invest here so that we can create jobs, we can have economic growth, is important.
We have an opportunity to do that in the coming year and years. It's the Big K Morning Show, Larry Richard with Rich Fitzgerald, every Wednesday in our 7 o'clock hour. Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. You know, I didn't even ask you, do you want to continue into the new year? Because you won't be here for Christmas next Wednesday or New Year's Day the following week. we got to keep this going.
It's been good, and we've been able to get a lot of information that maybe people don't know about some of the great things happening around the region that don't necessarily get the attention. We certainly give the attention to what happens in downtown Pittsburgh and, you know, the airport and places like that are closer to us here at KDK. But I think, you know, because KDK's reach is so broad, I mean, we really have to state and even more the footprint is out there. And the listeners, as I found out, you know, when we talk about Greene County or we talk about Armstrong County, when I go there, we heard that story about, you know, our IUP or Slippery Rock or, you know, the motocross race you talked about in Greene County.
That's good to hear.
It gets heard. It's very much people listen to it. And, you know, one of the big things that the governor and his team are working on right now is this housing shortage. And we talk about affordable housing gets a lot of attention, but there's just a housing shortage in Pennsylvania in general. And there are places like Fayette County in which they've got 99% occupancy. They need housing in Greene County and places like this. And the governor's put a listing session. I was on a roundtable discussion the other day with Secretary Sager and his team, figuring out how we can get more people, how we can get more housing built. It'll be a big initiative you're going to be seeing in the next year with Governor Shapiro and his team.
I think some of our surrounding counties are underserved in some ways in terms of just paying attention to what's going on. And you've done a great job of highlighting those things. Speaking of underserved, you had mentioned something that we all take for granted here, and that's access to broadband. And I know there's a plan across the state to try to increase that. And what's the effort like in Westmoreland County?
Well, Westmoreland County, the county commissioner is being very, very proactive, putting bonuses actually in place for places, the Comcast and the Verizons and the other companies, to get broadband to their citizens more quickly. Sure, in the Latrobes and the Greensburgs and the Jeanettes, the more urban centers in Westmoreland County, but in some of the remote areas that don't have broadband. And I think the county commissioners in, you know, Commissioner Chu and his team, and we had Sean Curtis on a couple of weeks ago, and Commissioner Kopis, they're working very hard. And Washington County's another county that's been very, very proactive in getting things done in how the things, John Timney and his team out there, they've making sure this new need of being connected. I shouldn't say new. It's not all that new anymore. But if we can't get our folks connected to the internet and to broadband, we're going to fall behind economically.
The rest of us can't imagine being without it. So
we take it for granted. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
And in the region, one of the challenges, as you know, in spite of the fact that we have such a rich healthcare footprint here, you talk about EDS and MEDS. Many other parts of the country, most do not have access like we do in the immediate Pittsburgh area. That said, it's taken for granted a little bit in some of the outlying areas. We've seen that. And Sharon Hospital is one that kind of fell in between and has struggled. And a lot of healthcare organizations are struggling right now.
Yeah, we've seen a number of hospitals over the years that have, from our rural communities, have fallen by the wayside. And apparently on January 6th will be the last day that Sharon Hospital will be open. I think this hospital's been in Mercer County for over 100 years. And there were efforts to save it. I think Meadville Medical Center and a few other medical facilities looked at it and for whatever reason have decided it's not going to occur. And this falls along Elwood City Hospital a couple years ago that closed its doors, and over the Bronzeville Hospital, Aliquippa Hospital, hospitals that used to, that, you know, serve these communities aren't there anymore. And yes, we've got, you know, Presby and Shadyside and Children's and the Hillman Cancer Center and, you know, AHN and all these great places in and around the Oakland and in Pittsburgh area. But as you head out into more rural communities, it's a struggle. We're excited that IUP is putting a DO school in up in Indiana County. But yes, these areas are very, very much in jeopardy. Luckily, I think the UPMC Washington Hospital and Greene County Hospitals are coming together to save that facility, but it doesn't always happen.
That would be, for them, a healthcare desert if it didn't happen south. And then you have Independence Health System, which covers, you know, Butler County over into Westmoreland County, the former Excella and Butler systems merging. But there are healthcare deserts for some people. And I know cost factors and reimbursements are a big issue.
It's a national and statewide challenge, and I know, again, the governor and his team are working on that. One of our top people that was in Allegheny County, we know very well, Dr. Deborah Bogan, who ran the Allegheny County Health Department, is the Secretary of Health now for Governor Shapiro, and I know she's concerned about this and working on these type of things, and it's a challenge.
You hired her.
We hired her.
Look at her now.
Right there. Come on in. We only have this little thing called COVID, Dr. Bogan, and you're not going to have anything to do over the next couple of years. But, wow, she was an amazing, amazing, and continues to be an amazing leader.
That said, challenges, and you mentioned COVID, we mentioned financial challenges. This is what all the, you know, public agencies are facing is, you know, we've seen Allegheny County's budget. We just saw the city of Pittsburgh pass their budget. We're going to see the state coming up in February, but the money from the federal government is not there as it has been for the last few.
Well, that's exactly right. Coming out of COVID, the federal government infused a whole lot of American Rescue Plan dollars to local governments, municipal, county, and state governments. Not just Allegheny County, but the other counties. I know Fayette, Armstrong, Westmoreland have had, you know, their budgetary challenges with having to increase their local millage as the American Rescue Plan dollars run out. The city of Pittsburgh doing the same challenge this year, and now the state is also, the state of Pennsylvania, when Governor Shapiro introduces his budget in February, it's going to have the challenge of the structural deficit issue once that money has run out. So it's going to be an interesting budget year that Governor Shapiro and the legislature are going to be dealing with.
Coming up, huge sports impact in the region. We'll talk about that in a moment. And speaking of sports, I would be remiss not to mention the passing of Chuck Bonassart, known as the Kamikaze. Played for Pitt, but he had been a fixture on the University of Pittsburgh, well, actually, just outside the footprint. He battled for years the city and the university to sell his wares. Obviously, sad that he has passed, but he was a figure that nobody in this town will ever forget.
Chucky Bonassart, the Hazelwood kid, and he was on the last national championship team University of Pittsburgh had. Back in 1976, the Tony Dorsett team, Chucky was the Kamikaze kid. He ran down on kickoffs to break up the wedge. We've kind of eliminated that, but Chucky was just a tough, tough kid. Him and his brother went on to become All-American Monk Bonassart at Florida State. But most people probably remember Chuck as you drove down Forbes and Bigelow through the university campus, that guy that was selling those T-shirts for years and years. And then the city would come and cite him, and he'd move 10 feet and say, well, I'm not there anymore, so I'm in a different place. And then he'd move back. He did it for years. And the other thing is you'd go to a game, you know, up to the old Pitt Stadium or onto the Pete, and there'd be Chucky selling tickets back when we had paper tickets to hawk on the corner. So he was an entrepreneur and just a great Pittsburgh character. He'll be missed.
He never, never, ever quit. And it finally, they all said, oh. Big K Morning Show, wrapping it up, 2024 with Rich Fitzgerald, again, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. Man, we covered a lot of ground since you started with us, and we appreciate you taking this kind of interest. Every hour, Aaron, our producer, and I talk about it. Man, it just flies, and you leave a lot of takeaways. So thank you.
And thank you.
Looking forward to having you back in 2025.
Looking forward to it. And we are in exciting times for the region and for the future. I'm very bullish on where we're going. You know, wishing everybody a wonderful holiday season. Take 2 weeks off and come back early next year with all kind of exciting news. But this sports weekend that we are about to experience with Pitt volleyball, Penn State volleyball could potentially meet in the national championship. I don't know that's ever happened in any sport that Pitt and Penn State have played for the top crown.
No, that's and for those that don't know, it's in Louisville. Pitt plays the Cardinals tomorrow night at 6:30. Then Penn State and Nebraska, And the two winners will face off for the national championship on Saturday.
That is,
and it could be Pitt, Penn State.
And then in the meantime, we've got a little Steeler Ravens game. We've got
Saturday
Penn State in the national playoffs against SMU. There's a few Notre Dame fans around Southwestern Pennsylvania. They got a big game against Indiana, and then Ohio State. There's a few Ohio State fans, and we're not that far away from Columbus. So this is a big, big weekend for all of our teams.
It is, and we're so fortunate because we love our sports here. But from a practical standpoint, and you know this better than anybody, it does bring a lot of revenue and recognition to the region.
It really does. And, obviously we're excited about, we talk about the NFL draft and how that's going to impact not just us on a national stage, but the hundreds of thousands of people that will be coming in and giving Pittsburgh a national spotlight. So, yes, we've used sports as a good way. It's part of our DNA as parents and as kids all playing and getting to know each other and compete against each other. But economically, it's a big deal.
By the way, I got some intel on you that you were a pretty good football player.
Well, don't believe everything you hear. I wasn't as good as Marty Griffin.
Right.
Marty was a star. In fact, the fact is, if Marty doesn't hurt his knee, I don't know who would have got the first pick, him or Dan Marino back in those days. It was a tough choice, but Marty had an injury and had to move on into another career, and he's done okay. He's done okay with that other part of his body, his mouth.
Understood. And meanwhile, with your eight children, you're going to be home for Christmas, and everybody's coming, right?
Little busy, and Kathy's got the things going, the baking is going, and the decorations are going, and yes, got the grandchildren coming over, and that's really, think about what Pittsburgh is. We're a family community, and spending time with our family is really what we enjoy the most.
Well, Merry Christmas, and a happy and prosperous New Year, Rich, to you and your family, and thank you.
Enjoy your busy weekend, Lair. Keep it going.